Football fans, the wait is over. Playoff football is back in action this weekend, and now with Bet365, you can get in on it too. Starting Thursday, Bet365 is offering to double your money with a super boost on one or more passing yards in the Denver versus Buffalo game. That's right, all it takes is one single yard. So even if your team doesn't start strong, you can. Only with Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Select markets only. Minimum, maximum, wager, and fixed boost percentage applies. Super boost for single bets only. T&Cs and restrictions apply.
Forecast F1 podcast live from
Montreal
right after the race, and we're here with a slightly larger crowd than usual, so let's go past everyone. Sam, how excited are you?
Very excited. I think at this point I am trying to come down from the high of this entire weekend. It just pretty much feels like I've been living in a dream.
I feel the same way. I feel very much the same way. Yeah, true.
And we're actually recording this pretty much hours after the race. So, again, our minds may be a little hazy, but we're going to do the best job that we can at this point.
Exactly.
So bear with us, yeah.
And we have some support here. So we're here also with Nancy from Germany, who... How many races have you visited, Nancy, by now?
24.
Yeah.
And it's my first time in Canada.
Yay!
So we're also here with Ajit from Malaysia, who's actually living in Montreal now. For how long have you been here, Ajit?
Almost 2 years.
All right.
Yeah.
And no Ferrari mess up today, so I guess...
I mean, after yesterday's qualifying, today was a pleasure to watch.
And we should also mention the fact that you can actually see some reels that Ajit has been doing recently on the Forecast F1 Instagram page as well.
True. And we're also recording with Megan, who's lending her basement actually for us to record this podcast in.
Hello.
And Megan, you've been playing the game already for...
Yeah, pretty much since Sam started.
Right.
Yep, that's about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about right.
And we're here with Itzana, who was also on our previous podcast. And Itzana actually won the Forecast F1 season in 2022. How did you enjoy the race at Sunday?
I have no words, really. I have no words. For me, the world stood still, and I just only was with my head in Formula One this whole entire weekend.
And it's not that you don't know it yourself yet, but you also won this weekend's Forecast.
Woo! Very nice.
Nice. Double win.
Yeah, you actually outscored the second position with 11 points.
Great. Nice.
Yeah. All right, so I think it's time to talk a little bit about the track.
Okay, so I'm going to actually be pretty brief when it comes to the track this weekend. We were obviously physically there, so it was a pretty incredible experience for us. But for those of you that were watching and weren't physically there, there is three sectors of the track with two DRS zones. And I think that's really... pretty much it. There was one slight modification, I believe, coming into turn two that they actually ended up reversing after the drivers requested to do so going into the race, because they were having a little bit of trouble. You could see them running off quite a few of them during qualifying. But that's really it when it comes to the track and the overall changes or adjustments. Not too much, but physically being there, it's exciting.
Yeah, exactly, because we were able to do a pit lane walk, so we actually got to see the track up really close. So it's other Nancy, how do you feel about the pit walk? Well, Nancy, you've done a couple of pit lane walks, no?
It was very good, and I saw for the first time an Audi with a pit lane walk. It was a safety car for the Ferrari Cup, and it was great.
And we should elaborate the fact that Nancy very much has a love for Audi.
Yes.
Which, so how do you feel about 2026, actually, the fact that they've announced that Audi is going
so
to be joined?
I'm so excited. I'll buy the whole merchandise, everything.
She'll be fully decked out. That's amazing.
Well, at least they already got their first fan.
Very true.
How was the pit lane walk compared to the other ones you've did? You've been in Baku on the pit lane walk, and where else?
Too many people.
Here or
in Montreal, too many people, I think. We saw the crowd in the end, and I never saw it before that there's so many people standing in the queue. For example, Bahrain wasn't so full. You can go back and forwards, and you can choose yourself, but here you have to go straight ahead, and was a bit, you have to move.
Yeah, there was a lot of people, and actually they planned to do it between 9 and 12, but then when we were getting out, which was like 50 minutes before 12, there was still a huge line of people.
Yes.
So, yeah. I guess it's time to talk about qualifying and perhaps about practice, although, practice was kind of interesting this time with basically FP1 not technically happening.
So FP1 was a little lackluster, actually. It stemmed from the beginning with Gasly, his car stopping in the middle of the track, forcing a red flag. And then after that, it looked like there seemed to be some technical issues with the cameras on the track themselves, and that ended up canceling the entire FP1. So we were luckily able to have an FP2, which they extended an extra 30 minutes as a result, of course, of the fact that we were unable to see FP1. And then carrying in, I guess we can just segue into FP3. FP3 was quite wet. But also, there were several drivers going off. We had mentioned the fact of the second turn, turn two, and the fact that we saw quite a few drivers going off into the grass there as well. But more importantly, I think, out of FP3 to mention is Sainz. Getting into that accident, it looked like he just underbraked going into the corner. I believe it was the first turn. And as a result, he sustained quite a bit of damage. It looked like both the front and rear required quite a bit of work from the mechanics. And what I felt was impressive was we ourselves were discussing this shortly after, because they only had mere hours to be able to put that car back together for qualifying. And we were looking at this and actually thinking that the chances of him being prepared and being able to go out for qualifying was going to be quite slim. So credit to the mechanics overall in the Ferrari garage, because the fact that they were able to put the car back together, and he was, and we can attest to the fact of witnessing this, literally down to the very last minute, they were putting that car together to be put on the track. So the fact that that happened was quite impressive, and I think that's one thing I would highlight from FP3. And then, of course, we get into qualifying.
Yeah, I think, like you were saying, when we were walking away from FP3, we all said to one another that Sainz not going to make qualifying. And I think FP3 finished 1:30, didn't it? And then at 4 o'clock qualifying started. So, there was very little time in between. So that was definitely impressive. And Sainz also made it work a little bit more even than Leclerc in qualifying. Although, some penalties. But I guess we'll get into that a little bit later.
We should also mention one just personal detail to add to the time between FP3 and qualifying, and the fact that at that moment, during FP3, it was raining quite heavily. And so thankfully Nancy was quick-witted in this entire situation and left FP3 early, found a little hut, like a little station where we were able to seek shelter. And that's where the four of us sat for, I don't know, what, an hour and a half?
Yeah.
A solid hour and a half. This is where we were also discussing the fact that whether or not we felt the Ferrari was going to make it into qualifying. This is where these conversations took place in a little hut while it was absolutely downpouring. So just a funny moment in memory that we can take from that as well.
Right, so qualifying.
You want to move right in. Okay. Say no more.
I think after FP3, this was what we all kind of wanted, and we couldn't really wait because the weather was quite, we were all pretty cold and couldn't wait for qualifying to start. So,
yes. And as qualifying continued, the rain intensified, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so getting into qualifying, let's talk first about Q1. We saw Joe out, we saw Tsunoda out, Sargeant, DeVries, and Gasly. What did you think about the situation between Gasly and Sainz and the impeding Which we'll get into all the penalties, but let's just first talk about that one moment and what possibly cost Gasly from having an opportunity.
Football fans, the wait is over. Playoff football is back in action this weekend, and now with Bet365, you can get in on it too. Starting Thursday, Bet365 is offering to double your money with a super boost on one or more passing yards in the Denver versus Buffalo game. That's right, all it takes is one single yard. So even if your team doesn't start strong, you can. Only with Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Select markets only. Minimum, maximum, wager, and fixed boost percentage applies. Super boost for single bets only. T&Cs and restrictions apply.
To enter into Q2, which was a result of that situation between him and Sainz and that impeding altogether.
Yeah, so Sainz was definitely impeding him, although he had some trouble with the AlphaTauri in front of him as well, which I felt was also partly their fault. But I suppose Sainz shouldn't have been driving that slowly, which would have avoided the whole situation altogether. So yeah, I understand the three-place grid penalty. And it was sour for Gasly for sure, because yeah, that way he didn't make it into Q2.
And actually, another driver that received a three grid place penalty that ended out in Q1 as well was Tsunoda,
yeah,
and that was
Tsunoda
with Alonso.
Yeah, Tsunoda impeded Hülkenberg, wasn't it? I think.
Yes.
Oh, was sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about practice.
No, Carlos impeded during practice as well as during qualifying. He was pretty much reported throughout the entire sessions.
No, but I'm talking about Tsunoda's
grid penalty.
Yeah,
but that was for impeding
Hülkenberg.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. What I was just to clarify, I was I said Alonso earlier, but I was thinking about the moment when he was impeding Alonso for a brief moment, the blind comment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
How can you forget that?
Yeah, true. And then Stroll, although making it into Q2, he did start at P18 because of getting a three-place grid penalty as well. What was that? I didn't catch that.
Impeding.
For, against.
I don't remember. There was a lot of impeding throughout the sessions time around.
That's what Carlos Sainz said too.
Yeah. No, because watching it on screen, you could literally see the struggle of the cars trying to find grid position in order for them to go ahead.
True.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were interrupting each other when they were on their cooldown lap and when they're about to start their flying lap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was a huge problem this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the wet conditions also didn't help.
Everybody was stressed. Everybody want to get out there and be on track, do their lap, have a good time. It was messy.
Yeah, exactly, because nobody knew exactly if conditions would get worse.
Yeah.
And I think Q3 was actually a very good example of that. And
yeah.
It did get worse, so I guess they were already scared of that during Q1 and Q2 as well. But, yeah, let's not forget about Q2 before we go to Q3.
Very important.
I think, and it won't be the last time this weekend, we got to make mention of Alex Albon, don't we?
Absolutely. Being the first one, first of all, to go on to slicks, I think that pretty much anybody would have been biting their nails and thinking that it was an absolute roll of the dice at that point. And again, us being there in the presence of this weather and seeing the track itself, the moment I saw him go out on slicks, I was very hesitant as to what that result was going to be. So the fact that he went out and put on a flying lap and finished where he was absolutely impressive. And obviously great, not only for him, but a great result for Williams. And also, I would say Q2, just to go into Q2, when we'll obviously discuss the other drivers and the decisions in terms of tire strategy, but really timing was monumental during Q2 when it came to having the slicks and having them at the right moment. And it really came down to a matter of minutes because the rain came on, it came on fast. So if you are on slicks and you had that brief moment in time to put on the flying lap, that was going to give you the advantage, because if you, unfortunately, like Leclerc had seen, if you were in a different situation and you had a different strategy and you weren't on the slicks, it was too little too late in just mere minutes. So let's get into talking about that. Anton, why don't you elaborate a little bit?
Yeah, that's the second time in a row that Charles doesn't make it into Q3, and the third time in a row that Checo doesn't make it into Q3. So I guess those two are feeling a little bit different about qualifying than
usually Charles is known for his qualifying,
exactly.
But
yeah.
You know, there have been issues with the setup and all that, and at the end of the day it was down to strategy, and he called for slicks being put on earlier, but he was denied twice. So rightfully so, at the end of it he was very visibly frustrated.
True. And then, well, going into Q3, that was a little bit of a different Q3 session than I think we regularly see. Not maybe building up to a climax towards the end, but everybody just basically having a single chance to, well, not even everybody, because I think Albon even failed to set a qualifying lap during Q3. He didn't even set a time, did he?
No. He just went right into the garage.
Yeah.
Actually, we should also make mention of both McLarens did well.
Yes.
During qualifying. And again, that was a team that capitalized on the slicks as well.
Yeah.
So, team that decided to keep the slicks, had them at the right opportune moment, and were able to seek an advantage in qualifying. And we cannot forget Hülkenberg.
Yes.
I look at Nancy because she's explained to me the proper pronunciation, and I hope I'm saying his last name.
Good.
Okay, good. But impressive coming in at in second there. But sadly, he did receive a grid penalty, and that brought him back to start on Sunday's race in P5. So he received a 3-place penalty as well, and that was for failing to stay. Well, he was, I guess, speeding during a red flag. So
what did you make of that qualifying performance of Hülkenberg, Nancy?
Honestly, I was very surprised. I was happy, yeah, but then just an hour later, I think 1 hour, we get a message that he gets a penalty. So I was a bit sad about it, but yeah, I hope for more, honestly. But yeah, fingers were crossed, but it didn't help so much.
But he's consistently out qualifying Magnussen. That's he's doing much better than I thought he would if he would have asked me at the start of the season.
Yeah,
honestly,
right.
It's a shame, but on the other hand, I think, rules are rules. So I guess speeding during the red flag is not,
But he was not the only one.
He wasn't.
With his penalty.
With
no,
his penalty.
True.
No,
yeah,
no.
True. No, yeah, we had 4 penalties in total, all 3 places. Yeah.
Is there anyone we're missing? I think we're missing one person, maybe not.
Tsunoda, Stroll, Sainz, and Hülkenberg
right.
are the ones that all had.
Yeah.
Been,
yeah. Yeah, so although he unfortunately received a 3-grid-place penalty, it's still a good result and for that team itself to be able to see one of those drivers starting in P5.
Yeah, it's just very unfortunate that the Haas doesn't have a lot of race pace. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
he dropped, I think, a total of 10 places during the race, which is, yeah, kind of sad for them being so good on qualifier. Well, especially for Hülkenberg. But, yeah, you know, tough times for Haas, I guess, still.
Sometimes, yeah.
That's because of your T-shirt you were wearing on Thursday.
Yeah, we'll elaborate the T-shirt. Well, we'll describe the T-shirt a little bit. I had a shirt custom made for Thursday that was Gunther in his iconic photo beside the boat. If any of you know that, I'm sure many of you do. It is a photo that hopefully burns in many people's brains, and I thought that it would be best to wear the shirt while walking through the pit lane. Why not add a little bit of humor? So
right,
attempts.
At least humor with our group here, if it wasn't with anyone else.
And there was actually a decent amount of nice Gunther t-shirts out there.
There was.
Yeah.
There was I was actually pleasantly surprised to see the humorous ones too.
Yeah.
If you notice, a lot of the shirts are based on just something to do with his personality or his character, I guess. Relatable more so to Drive to Survive, because we all know that he's gained quite a bit of attention from the show itself. And he, like I said, he's just a character.
He definitely is a character.
He's a human.
Yeah, so, well, I guess to sum up the rest of qualifying, Verstappen to pole on the lap that he said, well, actually, he did improve his lap. He said first at 1:28 and then said at 1:25, I think. So he was the only one who actually did improve on a second lap out there during Q3. And then, as we mentioned, Hülkenberg, It was Alonso who well, qualified third but started at second. Hamilton started third. Russell starting fourth. And as we said, Hülkenberg starting fifth. Sixth, Ocon. Seven, Norris. Eight, Piastri. Am I going the right direction?
You're going the right direction. Yeah, we're moving in the right direction.
Well, ninth was Albon, because he actually didn't set the time, but he did start ninth. Leclerc, who qualified 11th, started 10th. Sainz on 12th. And, well, we're getting back into the Q2 times now, so...
Yeah, but impressive. You just did that all off of memory. And let's not forget that, like, we've had a very long couple of days, and it's later in the night after having another full day of race. So I'm impressed. That was very good.
Yeah. Well, let's stay on the high and move into the race.
Let's do that.
I think there's enough to talk about the race. So, Itzana, what did you think about all the teams setting up their cars to get ready for the actual start of the race?
So, actually, we were sitting in the grandstand in front of the start and finish, so we could see the pit lane and also the car setting up. So, actually, we saw the team principals walking by. We saw some famous people. I saw Gordon Ramsay walking with his daughter, I guess it is. I thought it was his girlfriend, but maybe a little too young for him. I don't know. No, it was big fun. It was big fun. It was impressive to see the cars that from that, how do you say, nearby?
Yeah. From that close up.
From that close up. And it was amazing.
And the sounds?
Well, when they prepare, there's not so many sounds.
Good
so.
Point, but
what sounds?
Okay, but I mean the sounds of the cars during also qualifying, practice, and the race. What did you make of that? Was it
like I mentioned the last podcast, is that I was looking forward to hear the cars and feel it all, and it was amazing to hear the cars and the engines roar. Yeah, definitely very awesome.
Yeah, and I guess this is my second time being able to hear them. And so I don't think there's anything like it. Nancy, you've heard, we've already highlighted the fact that you have been to several races. Like, how do you feel after hearing them for the first time each time you go to a race? Does it ever get, I don't want to say the word old, but do you have the same feeling each and every single time?
For my first race, honestly, I need earplugs. and you had an evening, you had some beep in your ears. It was very, very loud. So the cars, it's not the same like years before, but of course I love it. I love this hobby, but the sound is a bit missing, honestly.
Yeah.
For you, if you compare. For you, it was super and okay, but for fans who visit races years ago, they're a bit sad and a bit disappointed, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
One thing for certain is that there's nothing that you can compare really to that sound. Even now with the current cars, when you see it, like let's say for example during practice when they first start and they all start coming out, what's that feeling to you each and every single time?
Every time I get goosebumps.
Yeah.
Really, every time. Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes me feel so happy. It's my holiday. I love it.
Yeah, it definitely is. I think that two words that came into my mind actually today when I was watching the race. Well, I hadn't even watched the race yet, to be honest. We were just at a point where the cars were preparing for the race, and watching them come out on the grid and watching the mechanics put everything together and just watching everything take place to get it to this point, the two words that kept on coming into my head was nothing compares, right? No, absolutely nothing compares. I can't think of something that can compare to the sound, that can compare to everything that comes to the sport itself. I know I'm kind of running off on this tangent now about how much we love the sport, but I think that it also ties into what we're talking about in terms of experiences and being as the fact that some of us in this group, it was our first experience. So for Anton and Itzana, it was your first experience to be able to be a part of that live. For me, it was my second. And for you, Nancy, several. So it's an interesting dynamic to put it all together. But the one thing that I think that we can, that we have that is relatable without a shadow of a doubt is that our experience is there's nothing that we can compare to that, to seeing them live, to hearing those sounds, to being a part of that experience. Right?
Amen to that.
Nothing beats right. being on track.
Nothing beats being on track. No, definitely. So I guess since we're talking about the track, let's segue into the race.
Yeah, right. So at the start, I think we saw, well, actually it was just around turn one, so we actually didn't get to see it because we were at grandstand one. But Lewis overtook Alonso.
Yeah, right he had there. A great start. Yeah. He had an absolute... Megan's giving a thumbs up because we'll also say that that Megan and Ajit were able to watch it through the F1 coverage, whereas we were watching it live. So it's interesting also to have your inputs in terms of what you saw from different viewpoints. But yeah, Hamilton definitely had a good start, didn't he?
Yeah.
You had your thumbs up. So what was your opinion from that?
Honestly, it was just really nice to see. Like, because I couldn't be at the track in person this year, it was nice to be able to watch it online and kind of go through that and to see all aspects of the race and not just at one specific point as you guys experienced this year. So I really enjoyed the take later on, but that will from Alonso to Hamilton later on, that was
yeah.
a really beautiful takeover.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They had quite an interesting battle, didn't
yeah.
they?
It reminded yeah, they me a lot of like the old days.
Yeah, true.
The old battles.
Yeah, it all circled back to today, and
yeah,
fortunately they are battling again.
Yes.
Honestly, the only thing that could make it better is if the two of them are battling for first.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that would make it better, because then it would be exactly like how it used to be.
Well, speaking of first, we guess we should mention the fact that, of course, I shouldn't say of course, but that comes off a little bit wrong. But I think at this point in the season, it's like Verstappen has just become a force to be reckoned with, really. He's just unstoppable. And he did win the race. He came in P1, which was great, impressive. Also, almost 10 seconds ahead. So, again, another pure dominating weekend for Red Bull, specifically for Max Verstappen. And when you're there witnessing it, I mean, the actual speed of the Red Bull car is just, it really truly is in a class of its own, because by the third lap, he was already well ahead. And it became very clear that the battle for second and third, it provided that he was consistent and there wasn't any mistakes and throughout the race, but ultimately it was really going to come down to the battle of second and third at that point for the remainder of the podium. And like we've touched on, then we get into the battle between Alonso and Hamilton. And actually going into Alonso towards the end of the race, I think he was experiencing potentially some issues with his brakes. We saw Hamilton, we touched on the fact that Hamilton had a great start. Also, Alonso came back and overtook Hamilton, had a very nice overtake, which was actually at the final chicane leading into the straight where we were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was just very well timed. But Hamilton, right towards the last, I believe, 10 laps or so, started gaining on Alonso, which made it even more interesting. And he was almost in range, almost about a second away in terms of distance. But then we later discovered that there may have potentially been an issue with his brakes. I believe he came on the radio at one point in time when they were talking about it, and he said, just leave it to me at one point.
Yeah.
Which, again, pure Alonso fashion, right? The confidence that he has in himself and in the car is clearly evident. And even at the end, when he was being interviewed after at the end of the race, he said he wasn't even really aware of the issues with the car. He thought the car was fine. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. But regardless, that's one thing that was quite impressive during the race, was that battle for the podium between the two of them. And I guess we can get into a few more battles in the race.
Yeah, true. No, I think, the three that were on the podium, they all they all pitted right at the safety car or just before the safety car, so they were more or less on similar strategies. The only difference was that at the second pit stop, Alonso went for hards, where Hamilton was on medium, so that could have been the only, and then like Sam, like you were saying, Hamilton was gaining on Alonso a little bit. You could see it, well, we could see it right where we were sitting. Mm-hmm. Like every time they passed the finish straight, they Hamilton seemed to get closer, but then at a certain point, yeah, he started dropping off again, which was, I would have liked to see even a little bit more of a battle towards the end between the two of them, but I guess it wasn't to be. But anyway, it was a great podium to see, I think, with the three
champions,
exactly, and so then with Adrian Newey on it as well.
Oh,
Adrian,
that was great.
With 13 constructors,
yeah.
That was great.
You have Lewis with 7 titles, Max with 2, and Alonso with 2. That's an insane finish.
And let's not forget that this actually, with Max winning this weekend, solidifies the 100th win for Red Bull.
It's the 100th.
Which, again, really, really great to be in person and to see Newey on the podium. I mean, much respect to him.
Little side question there. How long is it going to take Checo to overtake the wins that Ricardo... I think Ricardo has 7, Weber has 9, and Checo now is 5. So how long is he going to... Yeah, this is how I think.
If he keeps going down this trajectory, I don't see it happening.
At all. Well, he might pass Danny Rick, no?
We don't know. Will Checo still be around at Red Bull next year? That's a whole other box of questions.
I think I think I've seen the next Red Bull driver after Checo runs out of contract.
Yeah.
That might be Alex Albon, I'm thinking.
I'm
you
hoping
think
it is. I am honestly a huge advocate for Alex Albon taking that seat, because he deserves a really, really good car.
Yeah, that's what.
Would we see him back in Red Bull though again? That would be a second chance, and I don't know.
Yeah, but they've kept him under contract even after they took him out of the Red Bull. He was loaned out from Red Bull, so they've always had it
somehow
in the back of their minds, and you know, I guess we never know, but I'm just hoping for it to.
Because to be fair, if we all remember when Alex got the seat at Williams, it was also due to Red Bull like pushing for him to be able to be given that seat. So, you know.
Who would you give the seat to? And I'm not asking Nancy because I know what the answer is going to be. To Yuki or to or to Albon? Well, okay, I'm asking you. Would you give it to, be honest, would you give the seat to, in 2025, Red Bull? To Albon or to Tsunoda?
I would like to see the freeze.
Oh!
That comes out of left
field.
Okay.
But I think each person can have their own hopes.
Alex.
Yuki deserves it.
Yeah.
Southeast Asian.
But I'm thinking that Yuki, you know, being Japanese, and Honda now going to supply Aston Martin, maybe when Alonso runs out of a contract, Tsunoda could go that direction, and then Red Bull's gonna have to look another way, and then, well, I'm not gonna say Albon twice. Oh, there I did.
But to be fair, what he has done with the Williams over these last couple of years truly deserves merit for him to get that call up.
Well, if we go back in terms of historically or recently, when it comes to Williams drivers and the success that they have in being able to level up, let's say. We can take Russell as an example,
exactly.
A driver who was doing quite well in his last season with Williams, and especially during qualifyings, and he secured the second driver's seat in Mercedes as a result.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I mean, anything's possible. I think that Albon so far this year has really been quite impressive. And yes, when you have a car that is, let's say, in comparison to the top tier teams, at a disadvantage, so to speak, and you have a driver that's able to maximize just about everything out of the car to be able to put on quite an impressive performance and be in a competitive field against the top 10, I mean, that does show a lot of skill, and it also shows a lot of discipline as a driver. So I think that this weekend was an incredible weekend for him, and we'll also highlight, you know, going back to the race, that he also secured driver of the day.
Yeah.
And deservedly so. Yeah. He again had a wonderful weekend. He managed to come at the right opportune moment and be able to handle the pressure and go out on slicks and qualifying and secure that spot that we've already mentioned. And then the fact that in the race he finished in P7, but what an aggressive but well-timed battles that he had. I mean, he put his elbows out when he needed to. He was able to excel defensively as well, and to continue to maintain his spot in the midfield. And that whole block there between Albon, you had Norris, you had Piastri, you had Stroll at one point. I'm missing somebody. Hülkenberg, Bottas. I need to pronounce his last name properly in this group because I've already been told it's a little bit wrong. But you had that block there that was really exciting for a large part of the race because they were all so close and they were constantly trying to make moves. But in terms of that grouping there, Albon was just he was one of the strongest in that entire section. And so it was really great. Did anyone hear his elation on the radio after?
Yes.
How great was that?
I don't think I've ever heard him this excited, because for a second you always listen to Albon as someone who's very cool, calm and collected usually when he speaks. And this was when he actually broke out of character. And I think even the commentators picked up on that. Like, he doesn't usually sound like that.
Yeah. So.
No, I think pure racing-wise, that was probably the best battle during the race with that block that you mentioned. And I think, well, I don't want to make a conclusion that's not correct, but I think we can say unanimously that we all agree that Albon should be driver of the day. Or does anyone want to object that? No, I don't think so.
I was sitting there with 10 laps to go.
Exactly. No, it was beautiful. It was similar to last year's race in Melbourne where he finished P10, where I don't know how he did that. And this might even have been better.
The one thing that I actually want to point out, sorry for interrupting, but Albon and his history of managing tires.
Yeah,
it's incredible. He does that really, really well.
So talking about management of tires, Ajit, what do you think about Ferrari today?
Oh, dear.
For the first time this season, I think all of you have heard me complain and rant about everything to do with how their strategies have made. But today, the way they handled the calls, the risk to stay on the mediums for as long as they did, and the way the drivers managed the tires, it was really, really well done. And after yesterday's sort of kerfuffle, it was amazing to see what they did today. Of course, it's not where we want to see the battles happening, but positive signs?
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I initially doubted when they didn't pit, when we had the safety car. I think, I was taking a deep
breath. I thought
breath
the same
and
thing.
You and me both, yeah. Yeah.
But it ended up working quite good, and I guess they didn't have as much trouble with the tires as they usually have. They kept out quite long on the mediums, and
fun fact, they actually maintain the pace and they were keeping up in terms of speed wise despite being on significantly older tires with the cars ahead of them.
Yep.
So they weren't gaining, but pace wise they were about there, and that is, I think, one of the positive signs to take forward.
Yeah, like Anton touched on, I was hesitant during the safety car when I saw Max, I saw Lewis go in, they changed for fresh tires and then they stayed out, and I started questioning that strategic decision. But it was I think definitely a decision that at the time for Ferrari to be able to maximize the most that they could get out of this Sunday, I think they were able to achieve that.
Yeah, true. And I think, Perez had a similar strategy as the Ferraris with a one-stop. Well, he did make two stops because he went for fastest lap, but he had a one-stop strategy in Prince Boulevard. And what did you think of his race? I mean, he, of course, starting in the middle of the grid, driving up to six.
I mean, strategy wise, I honestly expected them to go for that, because I was thinking both the Ferraris and Checo would go for one stop, because it would make sense to start on the hards, and that was why I questioned the Ferrari starting on mediums. But Checo, I don't know, that is it something wrong with the car, or he just can't seem to be getting much out of it over the last couple of races.
No, true.
Well, he struggled during qualifying as well to really get further ahead. So I'm not certain what's happened this weekend, but it seemed like overall it was a challenging weekend for him.
Definitely was. And well, then we talked about Albon. Then Ocon finished behind him with a wobbly rear wing.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Lando was complaining about that the entire time, and on screen, on TV,
it looked very wobbly.
It looked scary on TV. It looked as though it could drop off at any point in time.
And that, I was, you know, we've seen the meatball flag being waved for little end plates half hanging off from Magnussen. And, and you know, this, I think, was
significantly risky.
Exactly, yeah. So I was surprised that they didn't wave any flag, and the album was, because we know that giving penalties for that after the race, like Alonso had last year with his mirror hanging off, and that was, he got a penalty for that, but that was then retracted because basically the complaint came in too late. But we know that you shouldn't, but you know what they should have done is perhaps wave a flag and call him in the pits, because I think that you can't drive with that.
No,
or you shouldn't.
Again, then this opens the entire thing of, like, you know, the consistency of certain calls and decisions that they make.
Yeah, I agree. So behind Ocon, we actually saw Stroll finishing, who was constantly in that little train at the very back of it, but actually did manage to crawl up even ahead of Bottas, which frankly I didn't even really pick up during the end of the race, to be honest. I was surprised to see Stroll there. So on my part, that was a bit of confusion, but I'm glad to see he took 2 points at his home race.
That was an insane move, because I remember, like, my friends and I were watching in the apartment when we saw that happen. We were completely unexpected. We saw him gaining and gaining, but no one expected him to pull it off at that point in time.
Yeah, I've seen it back now. I don't know how I've missed it, but yeah, it was an insane move. It was very, very.
He definitely takes risks sometimes when it comes to those overtakes.
And late into the race, well, I think we need to applaud the 2 points there. And then Bottas finished 10th, where he also was on a one-stop strategy. Actually, he started on hards and went all the way in, and then stopped only once and was hanging on, not hanging on, and with Lando. And he was actually lucky in the end, with Lando screwing up in the end and thereby taking that point. But Lando was that was a little bit of a,
Lando had a really good try,
wasn't it?
Let's talk a little bit about McLaren, actually, because specifically Norris, because he had some really shining moments in the race, and then he had some unfortunate ones. He definitely had an up and down, and first, he overtook his teammate, which actually I thought was a great overtake that he managed. It looked like Piastri was quite surprised himself at that, who also was doing pretty well at that point in time during the race. But he then had a situation where he had an unsafe release with Albon. Thankfully, he wasn't handed a penalty at that point in time. But then he was given a 5-second penalty for driving unnecessarily slowly under the safety car. But that was, I guess, with the intention to give a little bit of space to allow both the McLaren cars to pit.
Yeah, for double stacking,
And so he was handed a 5-second penalty that then resulted in him finishing out of the points. But if that hadn't have occurred, he himself was really throwing his elbows out. I think this was one of his more aggressive races that we have seen this season.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the McLaren car, we can see that there has been some improvements over the last few races. They obviously have struggled in the very beginning of the season, and now we're getting more into the season where you can see that the upgrades, I think, have added an element more of pace. And you can, and with Norris, he's putting his elbows out, and it was nice to witness that, because we haven't really seen any of that this season. So
Lando really did have some good overtakes this race.
Mm-hmm.
The way he was daring enough to go late on the brakes time and again, and I think the drivers in front of him just were not expecting it.
So I think the only other thing that we'll mention that took place during the race was the fact that George Russell we saw two retirements, actually. But George Russell did retire on lap 55 because he crashed early. Now, they did try to put fresh tires on him and put him back on the race, but it seemed as though that the damage was too much, and so he did end up retiring. So I think that's the only other thing that I would mention. Oh, and we touched on the fact that Perez did secure the fastest lap, right?
Yeah,
I believe
yeah,
you mentioned that.
True.
So I think that pretty much covers it. Is there anything else that we want to add here for the race? Visually, I will describe visually. Anton's looking around at all of us, expecting maybe a response.
Answer, no,
anyone
I
has anything?
Yeah.
One thing that would be interesting to mention is, since we spoke about Perez getting fastest lap, that does mean he does have the pace in the car, but somehow or other he just couldn't get it throughout the entirety of it.
True.
So that is something that, if you ask me, really surprised me when I looked at it.
Yeah, no, that's right. He did a decent recovery race, I guess, in the end. And, yeah, he just messed it up with qualifying.
Did you see the fastest
I didn't
lap
hear it
on
the
screen?
No,
they didn't show it constantly
because
during the race. I was annoyed with that.
Yeah,
on the podium, there was a screen behind, and there was.
Oh,
really?
But on the other screens up, I couldn't see it, and
oh.
I was wondering why it's there, but not
weird.
Turned over.
I was constantly annoyed by not seeing who
see
had
that.
The fastest lap, and
yeah.
also at the end of the race, I wanted to know, because we all saw Perez pitting, and we didn't. During this weekend's forecast game, we had 439 players, and there was an average score of 49.9, almost a 50. And, well, just to head it off and bite off the quiz a little bit, I'm going to ask you guys, you're looking on my screen, Nancy.
No,
I don't know, okay,
Nancy.
How do you...
So, to bite off the quiz a little bit, how many people do you think got the podium right? And Sam, you can start with this. Correct podium of Verstappen, Alonso, Hamilton.
Okay, I have to... And 432.
People playing?
People playing.
People
playing.
Right?
People playing. No, no, no. People playing. You know I like to do math. I like to do the, I like
four,
to do the math. 439.
439.
439.
Does that
my apologies.
Your
No, because I didn't have an answer when I asked the question. Okay, I'm going to say 10.
Nancy, did you see it on my screen or not?
No, really not.
Okay.
I say 32.
It's Anna.
Well, I was one of them, so that's one at
Ooh.
Least.
Ah, that's good.
That's true.
A good start.
And I don't know, I think a lot of people hope that Hamilton would do very well this weekend, so, and also Alonso. I don't know, I would say 60.
Okay.
Ajit.
16.
Megan.
What was the question?
How many people got the podium right? So, how many people predicted Verstappen, Alonso, Hamilton in that exact order?
I just missed that one. Yeah, I went opposite for 2-3.
Yeah, so did
I. Yeah.
So did Sam.
No, actually, I had Leclerc,
Leclerc
in third.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's not speak about it.
we're not going to talk about that one.
Charles
okay.
is only.
How many people got the podium right?
74.
That's a lot. Ajit got it. Well, you did get it right, but you were closest. It was 22 people.
Oh.
You were only six off. Very good.
Not
I
bad.
I had high hopes. I had high hopes this week.
Right. So as we already mentioned, it's Anna here. Won the weekend. She had 90 points. She predicted,
Ooh.
Yeah, I think it's worth an applause. Definitely is.
Around
so you predicted, and we were actually, well, we were at the Martin Garrix party afterwards. I told you had 88 points, but I missed the 2 points that you got for Stroll, because I didn't I didn't see that Stroll finished ninth. So you had a correct P1, a correct P2, a correct P3, a correct P4,
wow,
a correct P5,
whoa,
a correct P6, and also a correct P9.
Wow.
Okay.
Nice.
Well done.
Yeah. And then in second place was Ignacio Silva from Argentina with 78.5 points. He also had a correct podium and a correct P4, scored some points for Perez, for Sainz and Ocon. The third place goes to Jesus Diaz from Uruguay with 1 point less than the second place, so 77.5. He also had a correct podium and a correct P4, scored some points for Perez, Sainz and Stroll. Another noteworthy mention is that the winner of the Spain weekend was again in the top 20, now at P17, so that was Eloise from Belgium. And with those scores, there's a couple of changes in the high scores, but you're going to see that in the upcoming reels for next week. It's Sanne, you made it to the sixth score worldwide now with your 90 points. So that's very good. There's only, the Saudi winner, and besides that, all the people in Baku who scored more points, who also were able to score more points because it was a sprint weekend. And so we're going to look at the standings a little bit. We had Tobias Joly, who was on P1. He remains on P1. His lead shrunk a little bit. He scored 48 points. He now has 477.5 points. He's still 15.4 points in the lead. Chip Goffker, who was on P3, is back on P2. He scored 57 points this weekend. And Jesus Diaz, who finished third this weekend, is now also in the third place in the league. So behind him, there's Filip Hojavec, who was already in P3 previously. Dayana Milojevic was in P3 last weekend, and she dropped to P5. And then after that, we have on sixth place Bart Hofker. He finished P5 this weekend. Also a really good score. So that rounds up the standings. And I think it would be worthwhile. So we mentioned that Itzana finished first, but let's see how the rest of us finished. So
did I finally beat 20 points?
Yeah, you actually did. You scored 25.8. Yeah. But you finished 426 out of 439 people. it's not
Let's
great.
Not talk about my scores.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, as long as you're moving up.
Hey, man, I always go for the outside shots. We know
you
that.
Do.
We
you
know
do.
That.
Megan, you scored 54 points.
Yes.
Actually, so did I. So we are 138. Sam, you scored half a point less than we did. You have 53.5 points.
Once again, we're close in our results this weekend. But
yeah.
You beat me.
Yeah, by half a point. Nancy, you scored 41.3. Actually, you were 25th worldwide, and now you're dropping 36. It's Sanne. You moved from 88 to place 16 now. So
nice.
That's very good. And
that's
you were behind me previously.
Turnovers.
Now you're far ahead of all of us, actually.
Nice.
So that brings us to the quiz of this weekend. And so we're going to go past all the finishes and we're going to see who gets close to guessing how many people had each position predicted correctly.
Do we win anything?
A lot of honor. A whole lot of honor. Unless any of you can come up with a good prize.
I think I should already get honor for, always going with the bad picks.
Well, look, if
at
you
least
can't,
you have balls, not that I do.
Yeah, if you can't win, I mean, overall this year in the picks, maybe you can win out of the forecast game here with us guessing.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
can take that accolade.
Exactly.
There's still hope.
Exactly. Well, and you get to get, if any of you get, well, we will see. Sam has previously gotten 3 correct answers. And
more than 3.
No, 3 in total over them. Yeah. 2 last time and the time before that 1.
How come everybody agrees with this?
We are immediately like, yeah.
Everyone's keeping score. Right? Everyone's keeping score.
Friend, Sam. Listen to the podcast.
Okay, well, maybe it's another one today. Let's see.
Okay, all right. So, we're going to start with Verstappen, who finished first. How many people predicted him as a P1 finish? And I think what we're going to do is we're going to go, each one of you is going to start. So, we're with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people, and we have 11 because fastest lap. We'll see how we do the last one. But anyway, yeah, go.
How many people participated?
439.
Thank you.
All right, so Nancy, how many people predicted Verstappen correctly as winning this race out of 439 people that played the game?
181.
That's a good guess.
That's a good shout.
But it wasn't me. I didn't want to take him on pole.
Yeah, you had Perez.
I wanted to do something new, but it was a mistake.
Yeah. So next week, Austria, back to the old.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. But I don't want to say too much.
Ah, yeah. No, don't give it away. Okay, 181. What do you think, Sam?
I'm gonna go 220.
220. All right. It's on him.
250.
250. Ajit.
327.
Ooh.
Mm. Megan?
292.
Okay.
Ajit takes the lead.
Wow.
Let's go!
If you would have switched the 7 and the 2 around, you would have had it correct. So 372. Yeah, 372 people.
Well, this is something maybe you can get more points.
Let's also mention the fact that majority of a very large majority of those that played all picked Verstappen to win.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't not bypass that little thing.
True.
That little detail there.
I mean, that's kind of why I went with the high number. I was surprised everyone else went with low.
Yeah.
Hundreds.
Yeah, true. All right, so time for all of you to get back at Ajit with Alonso. So, Alonso finished second. Sam, how many people do you think had him in P2, besides Itzanen?
Well, we know at least one.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, I'm going to say 101. I feel like I'm very wrong already.
Itzanen.
Alonso on 2.
Yeah.
80.
That's not a confirmation that it's correct. It's just confirming your answer.
But wait, what did I say for the top three or something? Because I should say contradictive things. What did I... What was
I
the other...
I don't recall what you said for the amount of points you said.
Who had the top three correct?
Yeah, yeah,
and then I said one. And then how many people I said?
She said 10. You said...
It was 16. Or no, sorry.
Yeah,
it was...
He
no, but
you
said 60 something.
Yeah,
you said something.
60. Yeah. That was wrong.
Yeah, that was wrong. It was way less than that.
But this is how many people
had Alonso on
yeah,
two.
Exactly. So perhaps people who had Alonso on two.
I would say 30.
30. But you had... Okay, so you changed your 80 to 30.
Yeah, I cut out the whole other part.
Ajit.
261.
How many?
261.
Wow.
261. Megan.
To have Alonso in two? 62.
Nancy.
46.
It's something you should have stayed with the 80, because then you would have won it. But now it goes to Megan.
Fuck yeah.
That's gonna be awesome.
Yeah! Go team!
How much was it?
77.
Oh shoot.
Yeah. Always go with your gut.
Yeah.
In this case.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we move on to... Okay, I write down a point for Megan. So then we move on to Hamilton on P3. And it's Itzanen who takes the first guess. How many people predicted Hamilton there?
50.
All right. Ajit?
111.
Megan?
Hamilton third. 42.
100. 126.
126, Sam?
I'm going to say 135.
Ooh, this is going to be tight.
I feel like Ajit has been looking on the forecast and been writing everything down. And
did he get this one right down to the number?
He didn't get it right, but he was very, very close. So it was 113.
Wow.
Let's go!
Ajit, you need to take this same energy and put it into your picks for the rest of the season.
You see, over here, I can be objective about it and think about it logically with math. When it comes to me making my picks, I just don't want to continuously go with Max.
Oh, yeah. Well... I feel like
I've
exactly.
Yeah.
Let me live.
All right. Okay. So then we go to the Ferraris, and actually, Ajit, you can begin with guessing how many people predicted Leclerc in fourth place. Let's see if you've really done your homework. Not you. You had him in first.
I have chosen him first, what, 5 times now?
Look, there was 2 people with strong P1 as well, so... Yeah, really. Uh-huh. Not just Tom.
Oh, not just Tom,
no,
okay.
There was someone else too.
Shout out to Tom, though.
Yeah. Let's go, Tom. okay, let's see. Charles for P4... You know what, I think I'm gonna go with... 45.
Megan.
102.
Nancy?
56.
Sam?
87. 100?
Oh, sorry. You said 100?
Price is right, rule is right.
I think all of you can give up and just give this to Ajit because he was just one off. It was 46.
No way!
Really?
How is this happening right now? Ajit, I gotta say, that's impressive.
It is really.
At this point, because it's almost every single one. You're almost bang on for
one.
The number.
It's gonna be.
One.
Wow.
I'm gonna take that to my grave.
All right, here's your opportunity to get another one. Signs P5.
Did I pick this? No. No. 66.
Nancy.
58.
Sam?
94.
It's on him?
75.
27.
27. Okay, it's really gonna be between Ajit and Megan because this one goes to Megan.
Woo! Let's go!
Yours was 69.
Wow, very close.
Yeah, you got very close. Just 3 off.
You both are doing well.
We move on to Perez. Nancy, how many people had Perez on P6?
I take him on the first.
yes, or not you.
61.
42. 42, it's on him. You had him on P6.
Yes, but I think people expected him to do better than P6, so I guess 20?
20. Ajit.
35.
Megan.
I was gonna say 32.
I write down 32?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, it's 3-3 because Megan, you got this one.
Yeah!
It's close. It's 29. Ajit almost
Let's
got
go!
It.
Let's go!
You are close with the 35.
So close.
So what are we at the in terms of...
3-3.
3-3. Wow. Okay, and how many we... Okay.
And how many we got left? Well, we got P7 to 10 and fast.
Right,
that
would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
so, it's been a long day.
So we're going to the interesting one. P7. Album.
Oh, right.
Sam, how many people got that?
I'm going to say 3.
3.
The way that you just responded,
I
was about to say...
No, because these are the interesting ones, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I
know.
A little bit out of place.
True.
Honestly, I think no one.
You say no one?
Ooh. Yeah.
That's not a bad guess either.
Throwing your phone away with it?
Yeah. It fell.
All right, so you say none. So 3, none, Ajit. But you can guess the same thing if you want to. But it'd be fun if you don't.
What do we have right now?
Album.
No.
3 for Sam, 0 for Itzana. You're up.
Let's go with 5.
5.
I was going to pick 7.
7.
I was thinking 7 at first and I swapped
out
to 5.
I need to write it down actually. Yeah. 3. It sounds like 0. Ajit says 5.
Yeah.
Megan says 7.
Why are we
Nancy?
Late?
I would also say 3.
both Sam and Nancy got closest because it was two people.
Oh.
What do we do if two people get closest? You share the point or you both get a point? I doubt you're going to win it anyway, so I'll both give you a point.
Wow.
That is a dig.
That's okay. He says that now Nancy and I will come back stronger than ever on our actual picks, right?
It's like playing bingo here.
Yeah. But I tell you, it's even more funny because the two people that got Alban on P7, each one of you knows one of the people.
No, really?
Yeah.
Now, should I... that's even more interesting.
Well, you know more people than you do, I guess, playing the game. So, I think...
And you're saying you mean... Let me just describe. Anton's pointing at
sorry,
me.
Sorry, yeah. That's, all right. But I think you're not going to... Well, you can guess all the people you know that
okay.
play the game.
But no, but...
I,
okay, I'll make one guess.
Okay.
I'll make one guess.
All
right. And it's someone that... Yeah, it's you obviously said it's someone I know.
Yeah. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Okay, wild guess. I'm going to say Britt because she's been doing so well lately.
No, it was Eugenie.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I know Eugenie.
I don't know all the circles around.
Yes,
there,
yes.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, and Danielle also got it right.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, so those were the only two people who had Alban on P7 and scored all the 6 points there. We're moving on to Okon. And it's Sanne who starts guessing how many people had Okon on P8.
85.
I write down. Ajit.
Okon P8. 67.
Megan.
52.
Nancy.
77.
And I'm missing Sam.
Yes. I'm going to say 62.
Oh, wow. All
right. So
I thought I'd go lower than everybody else, you know. Just throw it out there.
I'm the lowest. Okay.
Well, it was just 3-3 for Sam and Nancy each, but Nancy scoring another point.
Ooh.
Because
Ooh.
It was 73. And you had 77.
Nice.
So that's... four off. So
oh my god. How am I always just like...
Yeah, you were close again, actually.
Nancy, you technically have the...
Off,
you have the ability to come back and win this now. And I feel like after Anton
She's doing a Ferrari.
Yeah.
I feel like after Anton made the comment, now this is where she comes back.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. All right, so Stroll on P9. And who starts it? I think
Ajit.
We know it's Sanne got it, right?
No, I know. I spaced out. Stroll P9. I'm thinking... You know what? This has got to be popular. So, let's go... 157.
Yay. Megan. Another chance to take the lead from the group.
Stroll and P9... 11.
You two are very far apart.
41,
says Nancy. Sam.
33.
Alonso?
For Sam.
Alonso?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Right.
We keep on waiting.
Actually, when Nancy said 41, I had 40 in my mind. I thought, okay, let's not say 40 because it's too close to Nancy. And then I had 35 in my head. And then Sam says 33. So let's go 38,
you're saying?
Yes.
No, that means actually that it's 3 against 3 against 3 because Nancy takes the point.
Let's go!
And how much... How much was it?
It was 52, so you're only 11 away. Yeah.
I am okay. Even if I said
40,
then
you
I still...
still yeah, exactly. So, there's only two left, P10 and fastest lap. So, P10. And Megan is beginning. I will give you one heads up. I had Bottas on P10, so at least there's one person who got it right.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Hold on. I'm actually surprised that you chose him for P10.
Yeah, so was I. It was a yeah.
I'm very surprised.
Yeah. Well, you and Insana both had Joe on the other offer.
Yeah. You picked him too.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, yeah. I like Joe. We know that I like Joe. So I...
we saw Joe.
We saw Joe.
We did see,
Joe.
We did see him.
Picture with Joe.
Yeah. Same. I got you.
Okay.
Mm. Who's starting it, Megan? Yeah.
Yeah. Bottas at P10. Let's go with 12.
12.
That's so wrong.
All right, down.
That's so wrong.
Nancy, think about it well.
8.
Ooh.
She was ready.
Yeah, she's been thinking about it. Have you been?
Probably not as well as Nancy. I'm going to say 5.
5.
This is tight.
Yeah. It could also stay undecided, you know. If,
what do you mean?
Well,
oh, if we tie, yeah, yeah.
Still have fastest lap, okay.
Yeah, true. Relax. True. It's on it. How many people had Bottas there in P10?
It was... Somebody said 15 already?
12. Not 15.
15?
I write down 15.
7.
7. Yeah, well, it's Sunny, you get closest. It was actually quite a lot of people. There was 38.
Oh!
So it's Sunny wins it, yeah. It's quite a lot of people.
Oh, wow. So we're
really?
Down to the shootout.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm actually very surprised,
yeah,
because I was surprised that you chose Valtteri, so I'm even more surprised at 38. And nothing... Clearly, they were right. But yeah, that's surprising.
True. Yeah, I'm also a bit surprised by it. All right, so let's see if we can have a tiebreaker here with fastest lap, Perez. Perez, who wants to... Actually, it's basically between the three of them, so perhaps...
Oh, don't you dare.
No,
don't you
no.
dare tell us that we're not included in
no,
these
no,
picks.
How about we start with both of them?
I just wanted to see that.
How about we start with both of them? Like, we're like the... no.
Hey, you guys had better points than me all this season.
Yeah, let's not forget that Itzana also won this week.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
we
and,
get to pick.
And the whole of last season, so, all right.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Itzana,
we can't win them all.
You want to buy
Well, you
then?
Can't win them all, I guess.
Itzana, it's... Perez.
65?
Fastest lap.
65?
65? You've said it.
Yeah, because I think you're going to cut out the other two. I think you're going to cut out the other two, so.
So that's 195 at the moment.
No, but I'm sure you're going to cut out the other ones.
No, I wasn't going to.
Okay, well.
All right. Ajit.
Thinking about this for a second.
What?
Let's go 72.
72, I write down.
Kitty kitty. Okay.
Perez for fastest lap. 62.
Nancy.
122.
Sam.
87.
Okay, I declare the winner of this week's quiz to be Megan.
Yeah!
Because it was only 32, so you're the lowest
yes!
out of all of everybody.
Yes.
Nice.
Suck it!
Well, it's all. I gotta say, this has been quite entertaining having
okay,
everybody
I'm
here.
Good at guessing random numbers.
Yes,
they're not
that's
random.
Yeah, they're technically not random. Yeah.
No.
Statistics.
There you go.
Says the winner.
That's it.
So, well, I guess all that's left is to say that we're all looking forward to the race in 2 weeks, where actually one of us will be at.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's me.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nancy. How many times, like, first of all, this isn't your first time going to this race, right? To, well,
fourth.
To this track.
Fourth
this is your
already.
Fourth time.
Yes.
What are you most excited to see outside of the cars?
The green carpet. It's a special event in Austria. So all the drivers and CEOs are coming to the entrance and all the fans can wait for them. It's nice. can see the drivers, and yes, and the camping around the circuit, funny place, funny fans, singing, drinking. Yeah, it's very funny.
Nice. And is it going to be, because it's going to be a sprint weekend, so that's the second sprint mm-hmm. weekend you're going to, right? Because
yes.
you were at Azerbaijan, or last year you were also at Spielberg, which was
yes.
also sprint
yes.
weekend, right?
Yes.
So you're already used to sprint weekends. But for those that are not used to it, for the game, you got to make your picks actually a little bit earlier, because I think we're going to have the same
Thursday.
Setup for qualifying, having a separate qualifying for the sprint as for
yeah.
the race.
Yeah.
So that means, yeah, you got to be on time with your predictions.
And we're going to be going in blind again.
We're going to be going in blind because we're not going to
yeah.
see any free practice sessions.
Because I remember Baku being blind.
Yeah.
So this is going to be blind as well. Not like it makes much difference for me anyway.
Maybe this time you'll pick Max as P1.
Let's not.
I don't think so.
Go there. I did that once and it felt wrong.
Well,
I think that was the first race of the weekend of the year where you picked Max. Well, at least you scored 56 points in Bahrain, and after that, yeah, it went down.
Yeah, just because I did not want to go with Red Bull's 1-2. I continuously go against the grain. I stand by it.
So, 1-2 for Ferrari in Austria?
Always! Let's go! Forza Ferrari!
Okay, so before we end this podcast, let's go around the table here. One word to describe this weekend. Anton?
Fantastic.
Nancy?
Awesome.
It's Anna?
Amazing.
Ajit?
Wish I was there.
You were there, technically, on Thursday.
Yeah, but you guys know what I mean.
And that's more than one word. So let's go back. One word.
Ferrari.
Ferrari!
Megan.
It's easy to have a conversation with a G. You just throw in and
that's it.
It causes me pain,
yeah.
but I still support it.
And joy, too. I can see that in your eyes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Megan.
An experience.
Or two words, but we'll take it.
Experience.
Okay. Experience.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry,
word.
I changed it in wet. It was
wet.
Wet.
Yes.
Yeah, it was wet indeed.
It was
the track was wet.
Although it's. So Sam, what's your word to describe this race?
I would say memorable.
All right, and with that we conclude.
I think so. I think that pretty much wraps it up. That also means that we'll be back to recording as we normally do with distance. But I will say this, that that I have had a wonderful weekend with all of you, and I hope that we can all do this again sometime soon.
Us too.
Yeah. No, that's a given. It was really fun.
I think that sums it up brilliantly, Sam.
Okay, well, I think that also means that wraps up this episode.
It
so,
does.
Bye guys.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Au revoir.